Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium.
Opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium. Black Rose, we can't hear you. Okay, give us just a second. It seems our host may be having some audio issues as I'm not able to hear her. Let me see what's going on. Let me try muting and unmuting our host, Black Rose. Black Rose, you there? Check your headset. You might have muted that part of it. Yeah, we're still not able to hear you, Black Rose. All right. Let me see. If we can just play some music until we are able to get her audio issues resolved, as we're not able to hear her. We'll be right back in just a moment. I think we have you now, Black Rose. Good evening.
Okay, Scotty.
Yes, we have you. Good evening. Okay, your audio just went out for some reason. We heard you and then it went right back out. Who do we have on 281? Is this one of the panel?
Namaste.
Namaste.
This is Featherlight.
Hi, Featherlight. We're just waiting on Black Rose. She is having some audio issues getting connected. We did have her, but she dropped off, so we're expecting her to call back in. So how are you tonight?
I'm fantastic. Lovely. I'm getting better every day. Well, tonight, we're going to talk about different types of abuse. We are mostly familiar with domestic spouse abuse and former girlfriend, former boyfriend abuse. We're going to expand this topic over a series of weeks, and this will expand into what is known as social abuse. A lot of people are not aware of this type of abuse. So tonight we will talk about one of the types of abuse that is not that well talked about, but it is widespread, so much so that it has an organization now. So we do have a clip, not particularly about abuse, but that Black Rose wants to share with you before we get into our topic.
I tell you what, I'm so anxious to hear about elder abuse. This is a topic, like you said, that we really don't discuss, or, well, at least I don't sit in conversations and people talk about elder abuse. We mostly hear about, or even read articles about it. We mostly hear about relationship abuse, and particularly male and female in a actual intimate relationship. But there's so many aspects to relationship abuse, and when you mentioned the social abuse, just in researching this topic, I found it quite interesting because there are a number of abuses that fall under the social abuse category.
Right. Quite a few people are they may be involved in and may not even be aware. Most people, when they think of abuse, they think of being slapped around, punched, you know, kicked, or maybe just even those who are aware of emotional abuse or verbal abuse, they may think of well, someone is being abused because of being called a name, or just all kinds of humiliation, what have you, just outright, you know, those things that just jump out at you just glaringly. But there are other types of abuse that are more subtle, but they're still abuse. They fall under social abuse.
So we'll also discuss some other types of abuse, but tonight we'll focus on the elder abuse, and I'm so glad that we're bringing this topic up, and thank you so much. I don't know what was going on. I had my computer up and I was getting kicked out, so I think people couldn't hear me initially. So welcome in, everyone. Namaste to you, Featherlight, and namaste, Scotty.
Namaste.
Look at Scotty, namaste. Scotty, do you practice any yoga or meditation, anything? Or have you?
Not as much as I should, but sometimes I wander off into the woods by myself and just sit under a tree and be alone with my thoughts and the sounds of the woodland creatures. Does that count as meditation?
That's meditation.
Yes. That's meditation.
Definitely.
You said something about your tree meditation also. Oh, my God. When we started having these tree meditation, tree therapy sessions, just give us a brief synopsis of that, and then we'll go into a little news and then a clip, and we'll dig into our topic for tonight.
Okay. Well,
tree meditation. Tree therapy.
I just love nature, And when I go into nature, I just get the same. I get like you go and get a fill up, you know, like you when you're on empty and you have to go to tank fill. That's how I feel when I go to the park and I'm in the nature. So I have this connection with trees, and I was so impressed when I saw the movie. I won't say impressed, but I felt connected when I saw the movie Avatar and the Worship of Trees. And I thought, hey, you know, I'm not crazy, you know. That's in my DNA, the connection I have with trees. And so there is a program, or what if you can call it. It's something that I'm putting together called Tree Therapy. And we get energy from the ground, you know. There's a lot of very, very good positive energy in the ground. And we're all familiar with the seven main, more than seven chakras, but the seven main chakras that they talk about. And the first one is the root, right? And so that's one you need to work on first, and because it's the base of all the others, because without the root, then we're not here, because the root is the physical body. So the program, it's with tree therapy, and we gather energy. There's something called earthing, where you take your shoes off and you just, you know, connect with the earth like we used to do when we were children. And so you gather the energy from the earth, and you fill your body with it, you know. And it's a series of exercises that's involved with grounding, and I'm putting it all together, and it's going to be part of this Tai Chi. You know, there are different kinds of movements that you do, where you bring the energy to you, and it's involving the elements, you know, and of course there's earth. So that's basically the theory of it, is that we get energy, we get powerful energy from the earth. That's why you feel so good, Scotty, when you go there. It's because the energy from the earth heals us, and it regenerates us, and it gives us, it fills us back up when we get depleted. And we really should go, you know, more often, you know.
You should go to like a tree with an area and just clear our minds and relax.
Yes.
I know I really enjoy it when I'm either at the beach or if I'm taking a walk. I can always like think through some plans and goals and things of that nature. So definitely.
It's therapy.
Castro passed. He made the transition. Castro, of course, was prime minister of Cuba. And, of course, mixed feelings. People have been a little quite ambivalent, which they've always been, because he's been such a polarizing figure. So he died November 25th, and people always tend to make these transitions around the holiday time.
They do, yeah.
I feel so... I always feel for the family members and loved ones, because then every year around this specific time, if it's some significant time, a date or something, a day, then you always associate that person's passing. But again, that's why I think it's really good to enjoy people while they're here. So when they do pass, then you can think on the beautiful memories. Always have those memories, like your lady said in Meet Joe Black, just the memories or something, the snapshots. So have those great memories and be ready to release that person, because everybody's here for a certain purpose, a certain period of time, and they move on.
You know what would be a good thing, and this is not a morbid thought, this is just reality, that when I have... gone on, passed on over and gone into the realm, then on that day, you know, each year, my playlist of all of my favorite songs, they're played, and then people that I know and who knew me, they just dance and dance, and they make up dances, and they do kicks, and then they just have a good time, and like you just said, they celebrate the good memories, and then they sit around and say, you remember when she used to say, wow, you know, right. Stuff like that, mm-hmm. You know, just make it a good memory that this person passed through, you know?
Right, it'd be good if we could get to that point, but I know it's difficult for people when you lose somebody that's so close to you, so... But
yeah,
I think it's a good practice to, of course, be more on a person's passing because you miss them, sad to see them leave. You feel the sorrow, of course. But I think if you need some help transitioning to a better place with their passing, then that's where we need to go because I know grief can be hard. Grief is very hard. So, but let me read a Castro quote. A revolution is a struggle to the death between the future and the past. So that's a quote from Castro. And I know some people, especially a lot of the Cubans in Florida, when they left Cuba, were deported or kicked out. Many people were celebrating his passing, which, I guess, you know, I, if I put myself in their shoes the way that they felt, then maybe I would celebrate. And then there were some people, of course, around the world that mourned his passing or celebrated his life. One thing I can say about Cuba is I do appreciate the fact that that medical program was set up for people to come over there to Cuba for, and attend medical school without cost.
That was
great. And believe it or not, their child poverty rate is lower than the United States.
Isn't that something?
Yes. They're like, I think like 37 million children that are impoverished, live in poverty here. Their parents make below
37
the minimum
million?
Poverty. 37 million, I believe that's the number. 37 million. And
also,
the literacy rate was raised in Cuba because before before Castro came into power, there was Batista. Batista, he was like the revolutionary hero, just like Castro and Guevara. But then Batista, power went to him and all that, and he became corrupt. But, there were people that didn't have access to health care, people that were illiterate. And so when Castro came into power, he employed a lot of teachers to actually go out into the rural areas and teach the people how to read. And a lot of the people that left, they wanted to own like their own land, which Castro, going into a socialist, communist system, no one could own land, and he took his own family's land, his mother's land, from her first. And that kind of reminds me of Gaddafi because, pardon me?
To set the example that he was serious.
Right, set the example. And so that kind of reminds me of Gaddafi because Gaddafi lived in a tent, I believe I read, until the people in the village, the people in the city, all had housing. And he was, of course, wealthy. So,
yes.
There are different thoughts about people that some consider a dictator and some consider a revolutionary or someone that's being a good person. And another thing that I do appreciate about Castro, he may have had his faults, but I will speak about this. He sent troops into Angola to help the people, a revolutionary group in Angola fight off the white South Africans.
Mm-hmm.
So I appreciate that too. Now, I live in Cuba. I know that people complain about the food being rationed out. And of course, to have to switch to being able to have however much food you want to maybe being rationed, your food rationed to you, I'm sure that would be disturbing and disruptive. So I try to look at both sides of it, but nevertheless, Castro passed, and rest in power, Castro. And also, just want to mention quickly, and then we'll go into this clip, former Black Panther Sundiata Cawley has been denied release by the New Jersey State Parole Board. And, he's been in prison for, let's see, 4 decades, and he was first eligible in 1992. And in January, he will turn 80 years old. But see, notice how they're keeping these people in prison until it's almost time for them to croak. Everybody's always released like 3 days before they die. And so he is the person that was convicted of killing a state trooper in 1973 in the shootout in on the New Jersey Turnpike with the militia and Queen Nassata Shakur. So he was denied parole. So maybe we should write him. We were supposed to be having a letter writing campaign. I did write to the Fear the Move sisters, but I need to like follow up and write to them and some more of our political prisoners.
I do too.
Have like some care packages sent. Yeah, we have to do better. But we're getting it. We've been struggling out so much out here too. I mean, we've been struggling hard out here on the streets. But I mean, I know we're not struggling as far as our people out of enslaved for sure. We have to really think about them and reach back. We really, really do. Cause these
the whole point is to keep us so wrapped up out in this world that we can't even think about our brothers and our sisters locked away.
That's right.
That's the whole system.
That's it.
Let's pull away from that.
Pull away from that. Pull each other up. Lift each other up. And that's what we're doing. Lifting your vibration. So let's get to this clip, and then we'll take a break, and we'll come back with elder abuse. We're talking about elder abuse in our relationship series. Relationship abuse.
You gotta say it with power. Abuse.
Abuse.
It has a different kind of energy. Abuse.
Abuse. Right. With such disdain. Well, we will be right back. You're listening to Lotus Plays. Stay tuned.
Scotty, I asked a group of youth a simple question.
Play that clip for us, please.
Tell me about your history. Many of the youth spoke about the Civil Rights era with Dr. Martin Luther King. And an overwhelmingly majority spoke about slavery.
What you call Black history, what you call African history, are the missing pages of world history. Now, because I've now begun to study European history, I began to understand how African history was misplaced in the history of the world. And the one thing that I learned repeatedly, you cannot oppress a historical people. And once a people understand the nature of their role in history, they will not permit themselves to be oppressed. In order to oppress you, people must remove you from the respectful commentary of history. They must destroy your confidence and historical memory. The memory of what you was, so that you can be confused about what you are and more confused about what you still must be and where you still must go.
The dangers of knowing your history only from slavery? When you feel like your history started from slavery, which was beyond words, you'll compare it to to the disenfranchisement that our race continues to see today, you will subconsciously say to yourself, psh, I know it's not good, but heck, compared to slavery, we're good. You'll become socialized and take disenfranchisement as being your norm. Don't believe me? It has happened and occurred in every single decade and every century since colonialism began. Heck, Harriet Tubman was the one who told us, I could have freed hundreds of more slaves if only they knew that they were slaves. But see, there are some questions that you need to ask, like, how was our civilization prior to European invaders? I mean, were we truly savages that were in need of being civilized? It's only when you understand the greatness of your civilization prior to European colonialism that things will become crystal clear. Understand the civilization that you come from, the civilization that was interrupted, will you understand what your ancestors and the great warriors of your race fought for in America, Africa, South America, the Caribbeans, all throughout the African diaspora. And for that reason, I'm going to introduce you to one of my favorite history teachers, Home Team History, another YouTuber with a wonderful channel that focuses mainly on pre-colonial history. Home Team, tell me why you think it's important for us to know pre-colonial history.
What up, African world? It's your boy Home Team here. You know what? The Great Griot makes an excellent point. We as Afro-descendant people have been told on numerous occasions that we come from a dark continent with a dark history. And anything that we've ever achieved has been supervised or accompanied by other people. Now, the crime was not us being told this. The crime was actually us believing it. Many of us even avoid association with Africa because of these fallacies promoted by other people. And so many of us actually believe our history begins with slavery and ends with Martin Luther King. In a way, we've become conditioned to not believe in our own agency as Afro-descendant people. And because we don't believe in our own agency, we champion the goods and services of other people and even accommodate their needs and their concerns above our own, willingly surrendering our dignity and pieces of our humanity for approval or validation, because apparently we can't even imagine our own advancement without them. This is why on my channel I highlight and discuss the agency of African people that's been exhibited not only on the African continent but the world. African empires, mythology, and especially African kings and queens. I explain things from a proper historical perspective, and it's important that we as Afro-descendant people value what we create and value our own history. Hope you guys can continue to support our platform and what we stand for, the Great Griot and Home Team History.
Part of being able to make a people inferior in their own mind is to strip them of who they are. Hiding history was a tactic used by colonizers to Africans, Native Americans, even those we refer to as Hispanics. So I need for you to check out Home Team History. I want you to gather and grasp what great people you come from, the greatness of who they were, the great civilizations that they built, because next, we're going to go back and look at some major events after colonialism, some events that can help explain what we see today. And not from a European perspective, but from your perspective.
Black Talk Radio, since 2008, providing new black media for the masses.
All right, and we are back here at the Lotus Place. Let me just make sure that you can hear me. Feather, can you hear me, Feather?
Yes, I can.
All right. Super. So we're back here at the Lotus Place, and we are discussing elder abuse tonight. So, Feather, you are going to talk to us about elder abuse. So do you want to share your mind, body, and spirit first?
Let's see. First, I want to ask a question about the clip. Mm-hmm. What is the name of the radio station?
That's actually this... Where what?
What was the name of the radio station he was asking us to tune into to hear about?
Those were YouTube channels.
Yeah.
That was what?
Yeah, I'll send that to you.
Okay.
I'll send it to you so you can just listen to the clip. Let me bring Mother Hattie in because I want to know if Mother Hattie has any familiarity with the topic tonight, elder abuse. And I think that's Brother Brown. So what's up, Brother Brown? Namaste, Brother Brown. Namaste, Mother Hattie. I say hi.
Namaste, namaste.
How's
it going?
Yes. Oh, that is a really delicate subject because it becomes very familiar in the community all over, especially.
And it's interesting that you were saying it's familiar, but you know, I've worked in like the home health care field, and I've actually witnessed some like elder abuse in terms of like a parent being neglected, but I really don't hear people like discuss it. I don't come across many articles about elder. Well, you know what? Now, I take that back because you have people that have these makeshift senior homes, and they steal the people's senior social security checks. They don't feed them. In fact, there was a lady found a few weeks ago. I didn't even relate that, but it was a lady. She was starved by, I don't know if these people were related to her or what, but they starved this lady. And she was like a little old lady. I think they were keeping her in the basement.
That's horrible.
So that's elder abuse. You're right, Isaiah.
Yes,
Isaiah.
It is. They have no way to take care. They have no way to defend themselves. A lot of times they're cut off from letting anybody know, or they're too afraid to let somebody know what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Brother Brown, namaste. How are you?
I'm all right, God, baby. How everybody doing?
Doing
can
great.
You hear me?
Fantastic. Yes, we can.
Well, you know, I have a situation going right now that I'm helping a friend of mine. He's a disabled veteran. He was living with his sister, and he was very sick. And she stole all of his back money from Social Security.
Oh, my goodness.
He was very sick. He was very ill, and he trusted his sister. And after he became disabled, he made her his payee.
Okay.
It took him 6 years to discover that because she kept telling him he didn't get no back money.
Lawyer got
his money, and you know, finally he went to Social Security. After they put him out, the sister put him out on the street after she had stole his money. And you know, he came to me and he said, you know, is there any way you can help me? So we still fighting it right now. As a matter of fact, I got to go to Social Security in the morning because we called for an investigation. And it's been It's been like 18 months. And they still haven't came up with nothing. And, you know, I mean, that's ridiculous.
That is.
That's ridiculous. I mean, she stole $30,000 from this man.
When you're supposed to be the one that they can trust.
And you know, I'm having a situation right now in my family with my wife's grandmother. Her youngest daughter is supposed to be handling her affairs, and all of a sudden she tells the family about 3 weeks ago that she's leaving Baltimore. My wife's grandmother lives in a senior building, and she's telling the family that, you know, she's moving to North Carolina. So all these kids are using her mother's money because she didn't work anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
She's been spending that money to her own discretion. So now, you know, we have to go up there every month. Matter of fact, I got to go up there Friday. I got to go up there and make sure that she has food, make sure that she, you know, her bills are paid, and she has family in Baltimore.
They're neglecting her.
Yeah, but it's just that I don't mind going up there, and, you know, we have to go take her to the doctor because, you know, and then the rest of the family members, they get mad at me. But why don't she ask us? She's 97 years old. She shouldn't have to ask anybody to do anything for her.
She shouldn't.
She's the matriarch of the family. Why should she have to ask y'all?
Yeah, they know that she needs certain things. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight, too, with elder abuse. There are some things that you know that elder is in need of, and you just have to step in and take care of that, because in some cases they may not even be able to express what they need, or they feel some kind of way about having to ask someone to help them. So
yeah,
I'm so glad that we're talking about this topic.
It's a very touchy subject, but it's one that we need to understand the reality of it in our community. It happens every day.
Yes, it does.
Every day.
Featherlight, you want to introduce us to the topic tonight?
Okay. So, as we mentioned before, this is about a type of abuse that goes on quiet as it is kept, and it's called elder abuse. And it's abuse to our seniors, to our elders. So, no matter why it happens, abuse is not okay, and it's never justified. Excuse me. No one, absolutely no one, deserves to be abused, whether it be physically, emotionally, verbally, or otherwise. It's just not acceptable. So I want to give a brief description of what abuse is before we get into specific topic of this type of abuse, elder abuse. So abuse is a repetitive pattern of behaviors to maintain power and control over someone else. It's about a dynamic, which is breaking down in layman's terms, it's a process or a system to be able to have power, and it's constantly active. It's constantly changing. You don't know what's coming next, you know. And it's about extremes of domination and submission. Okay, there's always the two of those going on. It's about giving and withholding. Withholding what you know a person needs to the extreme. And this includes not only just the physical harm, but to arouse fear. Abuse can involve just having a person afraid all the time, preventing a person from doing what they wish to do. That's abuse. Right. Or forcing them to behave in ways that they do not want. That is abuse. And it also includes sexual violence. You know, that's where we'll talk a little bit about that as well. Sexual violence, threats and intimidation, threatening a person about something with something that you know that is important to them, threatening to withhold it from them. That is abuse. Economic deprivation. Emotional abuse. There's also pregnancy coercion and digital abuse. So we see a lot of that happening right now. So these are different forms of abuse, and some of them can be going on at the same time. It doesn't have to just be one. You can have a combination of these going on at the same time, and it includes not only your partner, former or current. A lot of times it's former, but also current. It could be a platonic friend. Usually it's a best friend. Sibling, your boss, a parent over a minor, which is child abuse, a caretaker, which we'll talk about, over the elderly, and in some cases, parents over adult children. So those are some of the abuses that we will be talking about over the next series. And tonight, as we mentioned, we'll be talking about elderly abuse. So elderly abuse falls under, social abuse, because in some cases of elderly abuse, it is involving institutions. So that will fall under social abuse. And social abuse is kind of a new term, because people are becoming more and more aware that abuse doesn't just have to be with someone that's like a relative, a father, or a mother. You know, it can be outside of the home. And that's usually involving the coercion of an individual in a public setting, like the collective abuse by a group of people, like a group of people bullying somebody. Black Rose, you were telling me about the Muslim that was collectively abused, and he ended up losing his life. This can be very serious, collective abuse. One person can often manipulate a whole group of people, you know, to control an individual. It could be in like a religious setting, or it could be a school setting. So social abuse, in essence, uses the power of a group of people to either embarrass or humiliate someone to the point where it's like this that Black Rose was speaking of, the person just reacted violently. So it is nothing to take lightly, nothing to take lightly, social abuse. So the abuse by adult children of elderly parents, or the abuse by caretakers of elderly patients, that is what elderly abuse is. And so this abuse can be physical, emotional, verbal, and it often involves neglect. And that is a type of abuse as well. Over 2 million elderly Americans are victims of this type of abuse. And most abuse, oddly as it may sound, takes place in the homes and not the nursing homes.
That's right.
And you would think that's the least expected place for it to happen. But there's so many factors that play into that, why that person ends up being abused. And I think you're going to delve into some of that too.
Mm-hmm. So the core element, of the basis of this harm to an elder, is that the expectation of trust. This elderly person has put their trust into this family member, put their trust into this caretaker, this institution. They feel that they're going to do what's best for them, you know? So that is a violation of this trust when you abuse them. So domestic violence, that's when it's in the home. But elderly abuse can occur outside the home. So it has become, as we would have discussed tonight, a little bit more, people are becoming more aware of it now, so much so that there's an organization now, it's a worldwide organization that was started in 2002, and it's called the World Health Organization, that brought the international attention to the vast number of elders who were being abused. So they formed the International Network for Prevention of Elder Abuse. And that is known as it's a special holiday. It's a Memorial Day to bring awareness to the abuse that is being raised against our elders, our seniors, our people who have gone through so much in life, and to a point where if they can't do certain things for themselves, they may be experiencing dementia, and they've put their trust into somebody else. So this day has been set aside to bring awareness to these elders. So that is June 15th every year. It's WEAAD, World Elder Abuse Awareness Day. Now, let's talk about the different types of abuse.
Okay.
Because most people just think of, you know, slapping, hitting, pinching, maybe some verbal abuse here and there. But I want people to be aware that there's more to this type of abuse than that. First, there's physical abuse, called the hitting, the punching, slapping. Some people actually burn elders, kick them, they restrain them so that they can't move about. That would be one of the warning signs that we will talk about later. If you see welt marks on their arms, they have been restrained so that they can't get up and move about. They've been confined. That's abuse. Giving the elder excessive medication, or not giving them the amount of medication that they need to keep them well, feeling better. Psychological or emotional abuse, that's humiliating a person. That is powerful. It's lasting. Ridiculing a person, name calling, making them feel like they're a burden, ignoring them, not speaking to them, withdrawing affection. So those are different types of emotional abuse. Now, how do you feel Black Rose emotional abuse compares to the physical abuse?
Well, having experienced both, just me personally, emotional abuse is very traumatizing. It was very traumatizing for me because sometimes when I was being like verbally assaulted, I would actually just say to myself, I wish you'd just go ahead on and punch me, because at least I can just get over that little initial pain or sting from a punch. But these words just stabbing me constantly, and just the emotional trauma, it was very difficult for me to handle and also overcome. In fact, after coming out of an emotionally abusive relationship, I think it took me like about 3 years before I just actually felt myself again. So
emotional abuse is very, very powerful.
What do you think, Icy Hot or Brother Brown? Emotional abuse versus
I think it can be just as traumatic, if not more. You just don't see the bruise or the cut or whatever, but that goes, to me, it goes even a lot deeper if people are, you know, emotionally abused.
I agree. Brother Brown?
I'm driving home. I'm not this, but...
Okay, look here, Brother Brown. We want you to be safe. So, look, you focus on the road, Brother Brown, okay?
I've been driving the whole time. Well, I got a little dead spot where you're not going to be able to hear my phone. I'm getting ready to pass it right now.
Okay. All right. No worries. You drive safely. Okay, so Featherlight, the emotional abuse, in my opinion, is just like, oh my goodness. so difficult, and somebody else may feel like the physical abuse, but I'm just speaking from my experience, because again, like bruises, they can heal. Those like wounds, deep cut wounds in the inside, oh my goodness, that is so traumatizing, and it can be so devastating.
And, you know, I think it's probably different for each person, don't you? Like,
that's true.
I could probably take the emotional abuse, but I can't take the physical abuse.
Well, I feel abuse is abuse, whether it's emotional or physical or whatever. Nobody has the right to abuse another person. There's no exception to that rule. Because I grew up in a household as a young kid where my stepfather abused my mother. And, you know, I hated it so much that one night I was tired of it. I was tired of him beating on my mother. And I decided that if I couldn't get anybody else to listen to my cry, I would have to do something for myself, and I did. I loaded knives all around the house, and I waited for the right moment, and I stabbed him. Because I couldn't accept the fact that here my mother was a fragile woman, you know, working hard. She had to come home to that behavior every night. There was no exception. Whether he cursed her out or physically threw her, abused her, there was no exception. It wasn't the thing. I don't want people to feel like you're supposed to take this. Or you're not supposed to take it. You're not supposed to even accept or try to make a differential between physical and emotional abuse. Abuse is abuse. And especially for somebody who's an elder in our community, they have no business suffering from any type of abuse. Our women and our children need to be protected by the men. And if the men are going to abuse the women and children, then something needs to happen to the men. That's just my point of view.
Thank you, Brother Brown. Now, I appreciate hearing that from a male perspective, because it is so true that no one deserves to be abused, whether they be slapped around or cursed around. My point in asking about how we feel about it is that many people who are being emotionally abused do not realize that that is abuse. They feel that if someone is not slapping them, putting their hands on them, then this is something that they should take, because at least he's not hitting me. But they do not realize that that is a form of abuse too. So I wanted those who were within the sound of our voices on this radio station to know that there are different types of abuse, and no abuse is good. Okay, so let's move to the financial abuse. Financial abuse is what Brother Brown was talking about earlier, financial exploitation. The misappropriation of financial resources by family members, okay? Family members, caregivers too, because sometimes they're given access to the funds of the person that they're taking care of, and they misappropriate those funds. The use of financial means to control a person. They can tell a person, well, you know, I need to get such, you know. They can actually let them know that they're doing this, but they could force this person verbally or by threats to go ahead and put your name right here, you know, because sometimes they can't really forge the name. They can't get the money unless the elderly person signs it. So they sometimes actually force them to sign away this money, saying, you know, I need this for this, and I take care of you, making them feel guilty. Do you see where I'm coming from with this? And Brother Brown, I'm glad you had that example, because it's so plain. I mean, and here it is 18 months later, and nothing has been done. You know, that really
you know, ties up a person's, you know, ability to do anything, that money's just wiped out like that. So that's a type of abuse. Any comments before I move forward?
And you know, another thing is that, and I've been dealing with some situations through my organization where this lady, we got a call one day. She said, "They're not buying me any food." And you know, they go to the doctor. They said, "Well, we bought her groceries." And I asked them, I said, "Well, where did you buy her groceries from?" "Oh, we went to Dollar Tree." Dollar Tree does not sell no goddamn groceries.
Whoa.
Dollar Tree is not a grocery store.
Wow.
You know, and I was very pissed, and I told him, I said, "Well, why is it that you got X amount of family members and nobody takes it upon themselves to go take her to Walmart to buy what she wants with her money?" And you know, I remember being at a function one time, and she just wanted a piece of pie. You can't have that pie.
Oh.
So this woman is 97.
She's
97 years old, and she has the right frame of mind. Her mind is better than some of her family members. That's younger than she is. And she said, "Why they won't give me a slice of pie?" So I went over there and I got up and I went and got her a slice of pie. Because, you know, they don't bother me. But I just told her, I said, she's going to eat the pie. And if anybody got a problem with it, I said, let's step outside. And I don't like to get belligerent with people. But this woman is 97 years old. Half of y'all might not even be able to get half her age. And you won't even give her what she wants, a piece of pie. I mean, you don't even know when she's going to be here. A piece of
That's
pie, goddamn it. That piece of pie is not going to cause her to go away from here. If you're giving her shit out of Dollar Tree, excuse my language, that's full of salt out of a can. But that's the only thing in Dollar Tree.
So let's get back to taking away of the items that people need, because that's very important, like what you're saying, Brother Brown, and that happens to a lot of these seniors, just like the case I mentioned. There's certain people that set up these pseudo senior citizens homes, and that's their mission, is to steal the Social Security check or buy them, squander their money on things that the caregiver wants versus what the actual senior needs. So
exactly.
Let's pick back up on that too. All right. Go ahead, Arsha.
Okay. So the next one is sexual abuse. Okay.
Excuse me. I'm getting ready to go into the house. I'm going to give me 5 minutes to get in the house and I'm going to call right.
The sexual abuse involves forcing a person to take part in any sexual activity without his or her consent. And this could include forcing them to participate in conversation of a sexual nature against their will. You know, that happens. Forcing an elderly to sit and watch porno.
Let's hold that thought. Porno. Oh my goodness. Wait a minute. That's a good stopping point. Let's take a quick break and then we'll be right back picking up on elderly abuse. You tuned in to the Lotus Place, and this is the first series of our relationship abuse show. I guess the commencement of them. Part one. We'll be right back after this.
Okay.
If I find my way home,
Black Talk Radio, since 2008, providing new black media for the masses.
Couldn't it be crazy? Don't you still believe it?
And Icy Hot, I mean, excuse me, Feb Delight, if you want to pick it back up. Oh, we got Black Rose back. She had dropped off the board.
Yeah, Black Rose dropped off the board, but she is back on the board. I am here. Let me just let little Delta come in and give us a little hello there. We're talking about elderly abuse. Delta, what's going on with you? Namaste. Namaste, going once. And we're back here at the Lotus Place. And you can join us. And also you can join BTR, right, Featherlight? You can join BTR, yes, by going on to Black Talk Radio Network and just go all the way over to the
board,
right side of
the
page.
The train is leaving.
Scroll down where you see the large B and join the social experience created by yours truly, Scotty Reed, founder, president, CEO of Black Talk Radio Network. And people should also donate. This is something that you could do as a Christmas gift. You could also sign one of your friends or family members up, get them a membership with BTR. $24 a year. Is it $24 a year, Scotty? That's the best deal versus paying.
Yes, BTR community.
Well, I'm not going to tell people what's the best
deal. Yeah, it's $24 a year subscription, and you can get there by also just going to btrcommunity.com or Googling BTR community. It's a social media platform similar to Facebook, but so not like Facebook.
So not like Facebook.
If you're ready to move to a higher vibration, you need to sign up.
I love
it. I'm loving the groups. I'm loving the groups.
Too.
I'm going to create a group too.
Yeah, you did say that.
I'm going
to
create a group. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Well,
we do have several groups on there. Look at me. We. Like it's my page. Well, I'm a part of the community. I'm like, wait, yeah, I help Scotty get you. This was the brainchild of Scotty. He filled the void, the need, and that's entrepreneurship. You find a problem, there's a problem,
yes,
you find a solution to it. And that's what,
yes,
true entrepreneurship is. You fill that void, you come up with a solution or something better, make some improvements on something. So, cool, absolutely. All right, so we want to get back into elder abuse with Featherlight.
Okay, so I ended with sexual abuse, and I just stated that sometimes sexual abuse is not just physical, forcing an elderly person to watch porno when they don't want to watch porno. I mean, some elderly may want to watch porno, but when they don't want it without their consent, that's considered as abuse. Okay, so the next one is neglect, depriving a person of things that they need, that you know they need. Medication, food, clothing, heat, a damn piece of pie. I mean, really? 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 I think it was much more than about the pie. Just think how they treated that woman when they were not in public. That's sad. But continuing on, that's neglect, abandonment, deserting a dependent person with the intent to abandon them and leave them unattended for an unhealthy and unwise period of time, for such a period of time that it would cause danger. It would endanger their life, their health, their welfare. That's abandonment. Deciding at, say, 10 o'clock in the morning you're going to go shopping and you don't come home till 8, and you know that there's no one there with the elderly person and that they will be at home alone all that time, and they do not have the ability to take care of themselves. That's abandonment. Rights abuse, denying the civil and constitutional rights of a person who is elderly but not declared mentally incapacitated. Sometimes a person, whether it be a family member or a caretaker, they will try to convince an elderly person that they have lost their mind and that they can no longer handle their business, denying them of their civil rights, you know. So and this could be an elderly person from another nation, okay? So they come here for one thing, they're out of their country, they're out of their comfort zone, and so their rights as citizens are denied. That is going on, and that's something that's, you know, quietly kept. That's actually, that's under social rights, because social abuse, because that's not as that could also be under immigrant abuse, but that includes all ages. Institutional abuse, this refers to the physical or psychological harm that is done in institutions where family members place their loved ones in institutions and they are abused. I remember my grandmother, she, every time we would visit, she would not have any socks on her feet, and you know what, she would be cold. And my mother had to just finally get a bunch of them and write her name on them, because they would always say, "We don't know what happened to them." And then her TV would come up missing, her radio would come up missing, you know, things like that. That's institutional abuse. Do you have any cases that you can recall of institutional abuse? I think you mentioned something about not having enough people to care for a group of people. Therefore, everybody,
like in a facility.
Attention.
Mm-hmm. Right. I remember. Yeah. I recall being in nursing school, and so there were clinicals that we had to complete. And so we were assigned to, like, say, a convalescent home or something like that. So you had to make your rounds. And so one night, I recall it was just me and another person. So there were just two of us on this one floor. And one person had to remain at the desk. And so the facility was grossly understaffed because I was the only person there. And so for the entire shift, and I recall the shift being like 11 to 7. So I said, oh, well, this would be an easy shift. I can just kind of sit back and cool out. And that's why a lot of people take the 11 to 7 shift. It's supposed to be an easy shift, a relaxed kind of shift. 7 to 3 is generally in a hospital, 7 to 3 or medical facility, that shift is generally busy. So, I mean, I was like running around from room to room from the time I arrived until I left. And I recall the head nurse complaining because there were a few patients that were in need of some assistance, but I was like busy the entire night, so it wasn't like I actually neglected them, but I just could not there was not enough staff to care for the entire floor. So in some cases, it may not necessarily be the caregiver per se that's neglecting the individual. It could just be a lack of enough staff at a place. That's why it is so good to check on your loved ones when they're in places like this, in these homes and hospices and medical centers. So, definitely.
You're absolutely right. Check on them. See what's going on. Don't just take for granted that everything is okay. Now, I want to kind of run through the red flags, and that's okay. A good segue into where we need to be now. Things that you need to look for physical abuse: bruises or grip marks around the arms or the neck, rope marks or welts on the wrist, repeated unexplained injuries, dismissive attitudes about about your injuries. You know, what happened to you? What happened to your arm there? Oh, just nothing. I've been trying to cover up with long sleeves. Keep dismissing any kind of intention that you may bring to frequent injuries. You know, it's okay. You have an understanding that being an elderly person, they may be more prone to fall and things like that. But check the way they respond when you ask them about the injury itself. Be on alert. Look for it, okay? So a dismissive attitude. Refusal to go to the same emergency room for repeated injuries. You don't want to go to the same. They don't want to go to the same place they were. They went to before, because they are aware that it may bring attention to something may be going on, and they're afraid. They really are afraid for someone to know what's going on. Verbal or emotional psychological abuse. Now, these are the type of warning flags to look for, red flags. Being uncommunicative, unresponsive. Now, how are you doing today? You know, they don't want to talk. They're not as talkative as they were. They're unresponsive to you. Unreasonable fear, unreasonably fearful or suspicious. I know all of us at one time or another have we can imagine this. You're constantly moving around. You're suspicious. You're jumpy. When an elderly person shows those types of behavior, Start looking for other red flags. Something is going on.
Mm.
Lack of interest in social contact. Yeah, something's going on. Something's not right. You were going to say something?
Now I'm just thinking about what you're saying, just paying attention to some of the signs and symptoms that may be displayed. Mm-hmm. Not just necessarily like physical bruises or something physical,
right.
Something that's visibly apparent. So
right.
Just also monitoring the behavior.
See if there are any changes.
You know, very similar to what children experience. If a child or an adult begins to have a frequent bladder or irregularities in their bladder or control in their bladder, that could be very suspicious.
Exactly.
It could be a signal.
Yes,
okay.
Yes, that is mm-hmm. one of the signals. That is definitely mm-hmm. one of the signals. Notice that.
Can you hear me?
The same thing with elderly abuse.
Delta number.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, yes.
Oh,
I can hear you, Delta.
Okay.
You have something to share about it?
I'm sorry.
I said, how you doing, Delta?
Oh, I'm doing okay. I didn't want to cut her off before I speak. No, I was going to reference a case back here about, it's been some years ago, and it was a case where this guy was working up. It was around in California where this guy was working at a nursing home, and they had this young lady in there. She was bedridden. And she was she couldn't speak, but she was like bedridden, and it made 2020. And the young lady came up pregnant, and she couldn't speak. And it was one of the attendants that worked at the nursing home had impregnated this young lady, and the family noticed that the young lady was fat. Her stomach started getting big. And the family noticed it, and they had the young lady check, and the lady was pregnant. And the lady had to wear a pamper and everything. So this is why it made the news, because the family wanted to give her an abortion, and the court stopped in and wouldn't allow them to do it. But this guy in California, it's been some years ago, it was on 20 years ago, and I'm thinking about, it's not elderly abuse. This woman, she was like 30, but she had capacity of a child. And she wore Pampers. And this guy, the attendant that worked at the nursing home, impregnated this woman. So you
how
got
does the
a
guy
lot
at the nursing home the young lady was at a nursing home, you mean?
She was in a facility. The family placed her there. And
okay.
The family placed her there, and the young lady came up pregnant. And it made the news because the family wanted an abortion. Then the state stepped in and stopped the abortion. And this lady couldn't do anything. But this, at these nursing homes, they'll hire anybody up in there, just about, I hate to say it. And they just sat some in there to make a lot of money. Because I know when we had the place, my father-in-law was.
Hold your thought. I wanna finish my report here because there's something else that I wanted to be
okay. Okay.
Next in line. So I didn't want to get too close to us being cut off for the next the next phase. Okay. So warning sign. That's where we are right now. Like, it's a warning sign. These signs are not just physical, you know, they're not just physical. These signs are signs that we have to just kind of pay attention to their behavior. Now, if a person has been sexually abused, if they have some torn or bloody underwear, then big red flags need to go up. Bruised breast or bruised buttocks, venereal diseases, vaginal infections. Okay, I know that some elderly people, they do, you know, still want to get their groove on. So there may be a reason why they have vaginal infections, because maybe they're not using protection. I'm not saying that this could not possibly happen, but I'm saying look for all of these signs. If there is a combination of things that you know do not look right to somebody that's in your family being taken care of, whether it be at another family member's home or at an institution, be aware of what's going on with your elderly person that you care about. If there's some type of some shenanigans going on with the money, life circumstances don't match what is known about the individual's financial assets. Broken down, I don't see where all this money is going. Okay? You don't have any new dresses in the closet. You don't have a whole bunch of shoes in the closet. You're not getting the pie that you want. Where is your money going? That's suspicious. As to somebody is messing with the money. Large withdrawals from bank accounts that haven't that've been switched, you know, unusual ATM activity. Something's going on. Somebody is messing with the money. Signatures on checks that don't match the signature of the owner of the bank account. You know, there's something to look for. It's not that you're being suspicious, but just check it. You know, don't take for granted, especially if you've got some other suspicion that you already have been alerted to. Look out for.
So you're saying like for the elder. You're saying like for the elder to check the signatures of someone else, like say another sibling. I'm kind of confused right there.
No. I'm saying that if there is some unusual activity going on with the elderly's account, you have entrusted a caregiver or a friend or another sibling, and you come to visit, and you already noticed something that's not, you know, they're not speaking, they're not as happy as they usually are, you know.
Right.
They be sleep so, every time you come over. Yeah, this is another sign to look for. Check the account. make sure that her signature is on there and be familiar with her signature. Know what the elderly signature look like. This is a person that is looking.
No, I was actually just trying to figure out which person were you speaking, senior, trying to check this out, investigator, were you speaking about, like a family member?
Yes, I know.
Because
I know.
Sometimes
I
was just trying to clear that up. I was confused.
I know.
But it's clear.
Okay. Let's see. In addition to observing the signs, look for, as I said before, how the caretaker is responding to you. If the caretaker, if their behavior sort of changes, if every time you come to check on your elderly parent or grandparent, they tell you that they're asleep, that mm-hmm. they are unavailable.
Something unusual, so, you can't see them.
Yeah.
They're right. asleep right now, and she doesn't want anybody to go back in there or something like that.
Right. Yeah.
Visitation is limited.
Exactly. Cutting them off from social contact.
That's it. And that actually plays into the whole relationship abuse, like even between like a male and female, because sometimes dominant people will tell you can't hang out with your guys on Sunday anymore and watch football.
Mm-hmm.
Stay here and sit for dinner. Me and JoJo and Mookie and Kiki and Tata, we all watch football over here. You've been watching football with your friends on Sundays for 20 years. Now all of a sudden she wants you to come over there for dinner. Let that happen. Let that be his decision. Okay. Anyway.
Yeah.
Or her decision. So, anyway.
Right. Yeah.
And also, I know Delta had a story she would like to share, but we'll come to that. And then Scotty, I think Scotty may want to share an account as well in terms of this relationship abuse and social abuse and the differences or commonalities with physical abuse and emotional abuse. So, go ahead.
Yes.
I'm so glad we're talking about this. Yeah, continue, please.
Okay.
Continue,
now,
por favor.
C'est moi. Now, let's talk about why would a person want to abuse an elderly person? Let's look at some of the
goodness.
Factors.
Okay.
Because, know me, like, I don't understand. Some other people may not understand. And so let's get into the whys. Okay, so say, for instance, there's a pattern or history of violence or inactions already within the family. Okay, so multi-generational abuse can sometimes just kind of pass on down from generation to generation, and this is accepted. This is accepted to be the norm. You know, this is the atmosphere that they grew up in. In some instances, elder abuse is simply a continuation of abuse that's been going on in that family just for years. You know, and they don't even consider it as, quote-unquote, elderly abuse. It's just familial abuse. It's just what they know, you know. Take, for instance, a woman who has been abused during a 50-year marriage. Okay, she's just been abused by her husband for over 50 years. He gets ill, frail, can't do anything for himself, poor health and everything. So, guess what? She turns the tables and she's going to maybe be abusive to him. The same thing could happen to a child. If the parent was abusive, not saying this in all cases, I'm just giving a factor. The child was abused by the parent, and the parent becomes old. The child becomes a full adult, and then they turn the tables and they take out all of that emotional trauma that they've been holding in all these years. They take it out on them. They are resentful. They never let that go. And they take it out on the now elderly parent. Of course, like I said, that is not always the case, but that is one of the factors that has become known. Any comments?
Well, I know that when I was again in home health care, just seeing some of the homes and the room that the senior was cast away to, and I would notice that senior had the same like undergarments on that I placed on her that previous morning, and I come back in 24 hours, that's the same underwear. And so, and when I say underwear, I mean the diaper, because she was immobile. So, there's a lot of care that goes into it, and it's very difficult. And for, like Badelta mentioned about some of the facilities that hire people that are not really trained enough, I know for a fact that that is true, because I'm not going to say the facilitiveness, like some really, really nice people that really just need a job, they want to work, and that is the only, one of the only facilities in the whole town where they can find employment and possibly move up the ladder there. And so it's a facility where there's some people that some are mobile and some are not. And so these people only go through like a small, short, like in-service type of training. I think it's maybe 6 weeks at best, something like that. But for the type of people that they're servicing, and I say servicing because it's government run, and so their employees, they don't really have the proper training. And so often what happens is they may mishandle a person, not trying to deliberately and maliciously mishandle them. They're just not trained. And so by right. that being a state-run facility, those people will then be liable for abuse. And that's an actual legal charge. So they have to have a criminal lawyer to fight that charge. They actually go to jail if you report it, or if it's witnessed and investigated. And so that senior abuse and abuse on a person, that's some very, very serious. That's a very serious situation. So I'm glad that we're talking about this, because It's something I believe that we really should pay attention to. Sometimes we do cast away our seniors, and we mentioned before how we used to just make sure we kept our seniors close to us. And sometimes that's just not always the case. So did you want to hear from anybody else's account? Or did you want to finish? Oh, well, we're up against a break. How about we take a break, and then we'll come right back, and we'll pick up on this topic of elder abuse within the realm of relationship abuse. Our relationship abuse series, part one, here at the Lotus Place, and we'll be right back.
Podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
All right, we're back here at the Lotus Place. Scotty, I just love that music. I was just over here bouncing. Like,
yeah, I did too.
It reminded me of my club days. Back in Memphis, Tennessee, baby. I was like, hey, get down, gangsta walk. Okay, so we're back here at the Lotus Place, and we are here with Feather Light and Delta Cougar, and I Stay Hot, and our Legal Eagle, Brother Brown. So if you want to share a comment, are you ready for comments on some of what you've spoken about? Because Delta has a story. I think Scotty may want to share his. We haven't heard from Scotty. And Icy Hot, do you have a comment or
I do.
Reference? Okay.
Please.
So.
Yes, I would. Just let me know when you're ready later.
Okay. All right. So, Feather?
I tell you what. What I'm going to do is I'm going to run through the factors that brings about the abuse, and then we will discuss that as well as what else I have discussed prior to this, and then we'll talk about some tips. That way, you can throw these things into your comment. Okay, these are the factors that bring about the elder abuse. I mentioned the history, the family history. I mentioned that sometimes a woman may turn her rage onto a husband who has been abused, or vice versa. Also, lifestyle adjustments. That's something that a lot of people, it's a subtle thing, but it's very, very powerful. You've got to change your lifestyle when you take on an elderly parent, depending on the many needs that they have, and also depending on what kind of situation you're already in with your family. The adult child may not have the financial resources to take care of an aging parent. The living conditions can cause so much tension say, for instance, with her spouse or his spouse, it creates problems and a lot of stress in the whole entire family, you know, the whole entire household, and that can create abuse. Something as subtle as neglecting, or something as making an elderly feel like, well, you're the cause of this, or you're a burden. Well, that's abuse, and that's how they can be triggered sometimes. And another thing that people often forget about is that, I think we mentioned that before, is that if a caregiver does not have any training whatsoever, and at the end of the show I'll give you some resources on that, how to balance their needs with the older person's needs. Sometimes they start out just doing everything, they just drop everything for themselves, and then it's like they don't have any time for themselves. They get sick. Sometimes they actually get sicker because they are not giving attention to themselves, or they're the only one in the family that's taking care of the elderly person, and they can cause a lot of stress, social isolation. You're not keeping in contact with anybody, nor are you allowing the elderly person to keep in contact with anybody. That's isolation, and that can cause a lot of stress with the caregiver, causing them to be abusive. And if the caregiver already has some kind of problem, like an addiction, alcohol, a drug, or even some kind of mental problem, then that's a trigger. That's going to be that additional stress that's going to trigger that abuse. And just because a person does not intend to be abusive toward an elderly person, just because they've always been a good person all their lives and they just normally will not hurt a fly, does not mean that they are not capable of being abusive to an elderly person, because all the things that I just mentioned, from shopping and going off and not coming back and not changing them, that's abuse. So, comments, por favor. That's coming, please, everybody.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I didn't want to jump in before it was my turn. One, things that I think has impacts a lot of the abuse, particularly in, I guess, lower income families, and in the Black community. I've seen this several times, where there's like an older person, and maybe they have allowed a younger child or grandchild to move in with them, and that child is an alcoholic, or that grandchild is a drug abuser, and then they get into situations where they start actually even physically assaulting the older parent or the grandparent. And so that's to me one of the issues and big ones around our community, or even neglecting, or they can't, or even have, they don't have the capacity to take care of the person.
Right, right. They shouldn't even be entrusted with the care of that person in the first place. It's more or less they're just living with them so that they won't have to pay for board and keep. Some people do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sometimes when they have these grandsons staying with them, the grandson is a bomb, and he could be a bomb from so many different reasons. This cruel system, you know, I always take it back to how we've been broken down. So, but we're rising. But sometimes these seniors have these bomb grandsons and granddaughters who say, "Oh, I'll stay and take care of Big Mama." And they just over there, they take it.
And all they do is party.
Yep.
And all they do is what?
You're right. Party.
That's all they do.
Party.
Off of grandma's little check. So.
Yeah.
Watch out for your seniors. We have to look out for them. So I think Delta also. Delta, you have a comment on elder abuse?
Yes, I do. I can give you a personal story too. I remember one, and I'm gonna go back to my other story, but I want to really tell you this one right quick. I remember one time when my mother came down with Alzheimer's. My niece came and picked my mother up, and she would always take Mama out to dinner, so we didn't think nothing of it. So she came and got Mama dressed and took Mama out to dinner. But when Mama came back, Mama was kind of a little confused. But she said Nicole had took her somewhere. And then one day it came clear to her. She said Nicole took her and signed some papers. And we was all scratching our head trying to figure out what she was doing. My niece, she knew my mother was female, and she had kept my mother and had my mother to sign for a car.
Delta, you're fading away. We can't really hear you. What happened?
Okay, I was saying my niece, can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear me better now?
Yes, Delta, come on with the story.
Okay, my niece had took my mother off and had my mother to sign for her to get a car. And my mother had been diagnosed with Alzheimer's. And we had no idea my niece had done it. But my mother got a clear head one day. And she told us, she said, she took me down and had me to sign some papers. And we said, what? Yeah, and we found out that my niece had purchased a brand new car. And my brother told them that if they didn't come pick this car up, that he had the paperwork that my mother was diagnosed with Alzheimer's. He told them that you saw my mother was confused. You can have a conversation with her. I knew she was confused. And my brother told them that he was going to sue them. And they came. They didn't come right then to get the car. They was trying to make my mother pay for it.
Sure, of course.
So you got people take advantage of elderly people.
Right. So that's like the financial abuse of an elderly person,
correct.
Would you say? Um,
Interesting. And I know that happens to so many seniors. So watch it. Watch out for yourself. And neighbors. I know that my grandmother has a neighbor who looks out for her. So sometimes seniors are alone. So I think Feather Light, you have an abuse number for people where they can possibly connect with someone, yes, if they're in need of help or have some suspicions.
Yes, I do. Okay, this is a 24/7 phone support contact. 1-800-799-7233. That's 1-800-799-7233. Or, for those who like to deal with letters, 1-800-799-SAFE, like keep me safe. 1-800-799-SAFE. And they also have a live chat. You don't want to, you just want to use your computer to talk to somebody. Okay, you may not want to hear their voice, but you want to chat. So some people are in the chatting. So that's a good, that's comfortable. Then a live chat is available from 7 a.m. to 2 a.m. Central Time. So figure out what time your time zone is. This is 7 a.m. to 2 a.m. Central Time, a live chat. So you just dial, you can just log on to Domestic Abuse Hotline. Here's some tips for taking care. Never present a problem unless you have some solutions. Here's some tips for taking care of elderly. The first rule is to take care of yourself.
Take care of yourself.
You've got to. You're going to be in the same situation.
Yes.
You're going to be so broken down.
You will
need somebody to help you.
Broken back. Broken
you should have at least one to 2 days a week where you are off for a few hours. Take some time to yourself. Look after yourself. One person should never have the sole responsibility for caring for an elderly family member. Let me repeat that. One person should never have the sole responsibility for caring for an elderly family member. An entire family looking after its members reduces the overwhelming burden. It could be overwhelming, okay? The fourth tip is to investigate all benefits available for training a person as to how to take care of an elderly, and I'll supply those to you. If I don't have time, I will definitely put them on the Facebook website. Mental stimulation is key. Keep your elderly person active. Stimulate them. When I was working with the elderly back in Memphis, I had a program called Dance With Me, and I would go to these elderly, senior community centers. And man, they just were so excited to see me coming because we would dance and we'd sing old songs, and it was nostalgic for them. It worked with their cognitive senses because they started remembering, you know. So do things, a puzzle, things like that. Keep them active. Their minds going.
Yes, I remember when you arranged that senior dance. I think it was at a modeling show. The seniors performed. They had a spot at the modeling show. And it was beautiful. I think you had them dance off of Sade or something. And
yes,
it was one lady in a wheelchair. What song was that? What song did they perform?
We just played it the other night.
Flow?
Yes, Flow.
Oh, okay, I can recall.
They love that song. That lady, I swear, when I first started, I did not know that she could walk. I gave her the scarf. I didn't give it to her. You would pass the scarf around, and whoever got the scarf had to dance. in a circle.
Okay.
And somebody gave her the scarf. And she got up out of the wheelchair and started dancing. And tripped me out. Okay, so keep them stimulated. Keep them stimulated.
Okay, it's very important. And stimulated.
Here's some, finally, here's some, yes. The National Alliance for Caregiving. That's a place that you can go to for resources, training. It's a nonprofit organization. Caregiver Action Network. Caregiver Action Network. National Family Caregiver Support Program. National Family Caregivers Support Program. AARP has something. Family Caregiver Alliance. As you can see, there's groups, support groups that you can go to. Well Spouse Association, you're taking care of your spouse. Sometimes, as Black Rose mentioned, these elderly patients can get a little rowdy. They want to hit you and throw things at you, and you know, it triggers something in these people. That's what I was saying. Is, you know,
sometimes those seniors can become exceedingly ornery. Sometimes the nicest, sweetest people when they become seniors and bedridden, because just imagine how that could affect a person. You're not in control of certain aspects of your life that you've always been in control of, from something as simple as deciding when you feel like getting up out of the bed, or when you want to use the restroom, or when you want to leave the house, or something like that. And so, once again, another reason why I said I cannot deal with nursing at that time. I recall nurses sharing stories about patients. You would walk in the room and they may throw feces at you. When you come through the door, they call you names, just all kinds of things. So sometimes that caregiver can feel some type of resentment, as you mentioned, towards that senior, and take it out on them, maybe just all of a sudden snap, or just constant abuse, like the pushing and the poking and the, well, let me jerk your arm as I'm sliding this shirt on you. And speaking of something else too, we mentioned this earlier with seniors that are immobile. I just want to share this tip, and then we'll go back to you if you don't mind. Make sure that if that senior wears a size 6, then you probably need to purchase like a size, a couple of sizes larger, because it's sometimes very difficult. And I think some caregivers initially have been unaware of that. And you can actually hurt that senior because they're so delicate. So you have to really be careful about dressing them. But definitely keep them active with music and dance, even if it's in their wheelchair. I love that.
Oh yeah, I have wheelchair dances, honey. Yeah, I have. There are dances that you can do while sitting in a chair.
Absolutely.
And your arms and legs.
Okay.
You know, upside. But anyway, that is finally, to conclude my presentation, I just want to remind everyone who is in reigns that if you are blessed to become an elder, just think how you would want to be treated. Just think how you would want to be treated. Black Rose, you mentioned earlier that if you know that during their younger years of an elder person's life, that they like a certain thing, that they like to draw, or they like to paint, you know, make sure that you buy those things and have them available for them. If they like to get up in the morning and put on some lipstick and powder and jewelry,
earrings,
and go to Walgreens, you know, or got all dressed up when somebody came to visit them, do that for them as they come into their golden years. Fix them up like you know they like. Yeah.
Definitely. Try to keep as much of the same routine as you possibly can.
Yes, and do not treat them like
some
children.
Some type of normalcy.
Yeah, I know that people say that old people go back, but still, they don't want to be treated like, you know, treat them like children. No.
Still give them some control over their daily activities. And definitely somebody watch the money on them. So let's let Delta share a hot topic, and then we'll get ready to close out with us. Mind, body, and spirit, and some closing comments. So, Delta, you have a hot topic? Delta, come on, wake up now. Hot topic? Nope. Okay, so let's go ahead on with the mind, body, and spirit. And let me see if I see how the Brother Brown has a comment. Or I'm not sure if Scotty still wants to maybe share something.
I got a comment.
What's up, Brother Brown?
Hello?
Yes.
Yeah, I got a comment. One of the things that we didn't touch base on is that if you have elderly members in your family, one of the things that you can legally do to protect them to the power of attorney. That is a legal document giving the person who is the caregiver total control over their financial affairs, their health affairs, everything they do. That is the easiest way to make sure that they're taken care of. You get a power of attorney drawn up, you get a general power of attorney, a medical directive, and it's legal, and all you have to do is get a note. The only thing it has to do is be notarized. Once you get that, what I do, I always get more than one copy. Once you get more than one copy, legally, you can make sure that whatever avenues that have to be taken, you have the legitimate right to ask questions to doctors, you have the legitimate right to go into their bank account, you have the legitimate right to handle all of their affairs without going to courts and without going. But that is one of the avenues that we do not take in the black community, because we have been shunned away from that power attorney paper. That is one of the most elements that we have it. Our access is the power of attorney.
So that would be the best thing for to make sure you have someone. If you need to have someone as power of attorney, make sure someone you can trust.
You need somebody who they feel trustworthy with. They have power.
Okay, that's a good tip.
All of the foolish.
Absolutely. All right. Thank you, Brother Brown. Appreciate you. Love you. So let's close out with a mind, body, and spirit, and we'll be back on next Wednesday. And we're so glad that you tuned in to The Latest Place. And don't forget to log on to Black Talk Radio Network and join the BTR social experience. Very similar to Facebook for $24 a month. And also, you can get your Black Talk Radio Matters t-shirt at Black Talk Radio Network. All right, so Father, give us a mind, body, and spirit to raise our frequency and lift our vibration so that we can have.
What I am going to share are just a few quotes to make you think. Okay? Make you think. Everybody will have their own.
Make me think.
Perceptive.
Okay.
Perceptive of this. Okay? A head full of fears has no space for dreams.
That's right. I believe in that.
Has no space for dreams.
No space for dreams.
Okay? That's a good one. I thought I'd like to share how to dissolve any emotion. Allow yourself to throw
dissolve
emotion. Emotions control quite a bit of what we do every day. Allow yourself to thoroughly experience the raw emotion itself. Begin by feeling it physically. What sound does it want to make? what movement, posture, or gesture do you feel best describes it? Don't censor it, and don't add to your shadow self. Instead, allow it to arise and come out of its most raw form. And I really wanted more time to discuss that, but my main thought of pulling that was because we have a lot of buried emotions, and they could be buried from childhood, from previous marriage, what have you, but they tend to come out because they're trying to tell us something. So
regressed, suppressed
energies, and they're
repressed
emotions, emotions that you should actually acknowledge, like it says here, acknowledge it, because it's going to keep knocking at your door until you acknowledge it. Okay. It has some information for you that it wants you to recognize. And I thought this was cute. A little laughter for the evening. And it shows this cat with these glasses on, and he's just kind of chilling back, and he's, you know, the stars and the constellation is behind him in the background, like the solar system, and he says, when you've been meditating every day, and all of a sudden, dumb shit just doesn't bother you no more. He's moved to a higher level.
You just block it all. Kind of
yes.
Block
yes.
all of nonsense. Yes. Block that.
Yes.
Thank you for sharing
this
that.
This is going into 2017.
Okay.
We all, most of us said things that we were going to focus on for this year. So
yes.
Here is, if you let go of the energy of the old reality, the universe will bring the new. All space must be filled with the frequency of energy. Everything. Words, thoughts, the chair, the rock, the plant, everything has energy. Everything occupies the space of energy. An energy field that is emptied will be refilled. You have the power to choose the new energy frequency.
New energy.
You have the power.
Have
the power.
And I think that's a good note to end on. You have the power, and remember that. So you are in control of your destiny. Write your own script. That's one thing that we have to focus on in 2017. Write your own script. Write your life. Decide on your goals. Write it out. Write your script. Write your life out. If things aren't going the way you want them to go, or you want things to go a certain way, we are in control of our destiny. I know that's the attitude that I'm more so empowering myself with going into 2017, writing my own script and doing what I know that I'm here to do, living my purpose. So we'll end on that, and peace and good. We'll be back on next December the 1st. So people, do not go out and spend all your money Christmas shopping and all of that. Remember, save your money. Things are happening, things are changing, and plus you just need to save your money. All of this shopping,
be prepared.
No, and if you're going to shop, then buy black or help a small business, and or help a small business. Definitely do that. And buy your subscription to the
BTR Foundation. Yes.
That's right. Donate to BTR. All right. Peace and good night. We'll be back on next Wednesday. Namaste.
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 Namaste. Namaste. Namaste. I might have to write a song like that. Namaste. Yeah. Namaste.